hot party. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
Hello and welcome to Tripping Through Time. My name is Stuart.
My name is Randall.
And first off, we want to apologize. Well, we're a little hot.
Hot? We'll turn it down.
Yeah. We want to apologize for our delay last week.
It's Stuart's fault.
It is my fault, yeah.
It's totally your fault. Don't think about it.
I thought about it. While I was away, I was traveling. So we couldn't record.
Yep.
But we're back, baby.
Better than ever. I know everybody was like on the edge of their seats.
I know. Do you know how many emails I got saying, Stuart, where's the podcast? Where's the podcast?
Yeah.
Like my inbox couldn't
keep
up.
Yeah, all the fan mail.
It was crazy.
I think mine got mailed, and so I don't think it's there yet, but I'm waiting for it.
Like snail mail?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting to get a whole bunch of letters.
It's going to be like the scene in Harry Potter.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Will owls deliver?
Yeah, and just burst open his mailbox like I'm flying out his
I mean, that'd
thing.
Be pretty cool.
Okay, so our weekly segment, Randall's...
Yeah, here I have, listen to this. You hear what that is? That's a bag of Werther's Originals I bought at 7-Eleven. caramel hard candies. You can eat three of these bad boys for 70 calories.
That's actually kind of a lot.
Oh, I believe it. It's just butter.
And sugar.
And I'm sucking on these. Pretty good.
You promise he's not gonna like smack?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna. This will be my last one, guys, for the podcast's sake.
Thank you.
But it's pretty good. It's got this caramely, buttery flavor
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, you have a nice buttery.
It's not a liquid.
What's that variety on the back? I see there's a blue. It's advertising a blue.
Oh, that's the chewy caramels, which I do not like.
Are they like cubes?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all soft.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm in the mood for those.
Yeah, but. So not a beer. They are alcoholic.
Extremely.
They have about 10% alcohol by volume. So there you go.
I have a beer today. Mm-hmm. It's from Ravenna Brewing Company, which is a brewery up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. One of the best breweries in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Full stop. Mm-hmm. And this is called Quiet Beaches. A little fun little take because all the beaches are currently closed due to coronavirus. And it is I don't know how to pronounce that word. I think it's Foeder-aged passion guava sour.
Oh, I want to try this.
So, I've had it before.
You've had it before?
Mm-hmm.
Nice color.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, smells almost like pineapple passion fruit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to that.
Yeah, it's very good. Sour.
It's really tart, really sour.
Yeah, it's good.
Has a really strong guava and passion flavor. Just
like Stuart,
fruit juice.
What would you give to be able to go to this brewery and just have free beer the whole night? Wouldn't that be pretty cool?
My left toe.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's funny because I got to do that.
And you don't even like beer. That's what a shame. Wow. What's something you really like?
If you went to like a chocolate factory.
Yeah.
I'm in heaven. No, if you like went to, shoot. What is something I really like?
You don't like anything.
Not really. Kind of indifferent.
Okay.
I don't know. That's got sad fast. <Let's> I don't know. On. I'm going to have another hard candy.
You said you weren't.
Too late.
All right.
ASMR.
Gross. Okay. This week is a history hole.
Diving deep into Stewie's hole.
We're going into my hole.
History hole.
And this week, we're going to start out in a very deep history hole. Mm-hmm. 13,000 years ago.
Wow.
In a cave that we now call Rakafet Cave.
What?
Rakafet Cave.
Why?
Rakafet Cave.
Rakafet?
In modern day Israel.
Mm.
Inside this cave, they found these weird holes in the floor of the cave. And like little craters, but they were clearly man-made.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, what were these? Mm-hmm. And they figured out that they were mortars, like mortar and pestle. Okay. Not like a mortar. Mm-hmm.
Well, that would make sense. 1,000
years ago, in a cave,
it was an advanced alien civilization.
So they thought these were ancient mortars, which are things now. It's like a bowl, and then you have, I think it's called a pestle, and use it to crush stuff up.
I don't think our audience is stupid.
I don't know.
Really?
Sophie said I should explain more things thoroughly.
Oh, okay.
Like the step. I thought everyone knew what the step was.
What's the step?
Remember the step?
No. What's that? I don't know what that is.
We've talked about the step. Step is where, like, the Mongols came from. It's that huge area of land, like, east of Ukraine.
I asked what it was, I thought.
Uh-huh,
and
you
then,
did.
Yeah, and then you forgot. Rice plains and stuff.
Yeah, like big plains.
I did forget. Yeah. She licked my leg. The dog licked my leg.
So, these mortars, these holes in this cave, eventually we were able to analyze what was in them chemically, you know, once we developed that. And what we found was beer residue.
Oh, no, it's a beer episode.
Uh-huh. And
so what is it, hops or something?
I don't think hops yet, but
what's
like
a beer residue,
like ethanols and barley.
Like an alcohol. They could see alcohol.
And I'm not exactly sure how they deduced this, but they said this beer had the consistency of gruel, so almost like
that
watery.
That sounds awful.
Like watery porridge. And they say this cave was most likely like a ceremonial place, so they think this beer was brewed for some type of special ceremony. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the earliest archaeological instances of beer. Mm-hmm. That's what this episode's going to be about, beer, by the way. You look confused.
No, I was just thinking, like, what if, like, how do you know that's what they did in them and that's not just what happened? Like, some sugar got in there or something, some bacteria and made alcohol.
Probably because they just found them, like, in the mortar part and not around the rest
not
of the cave.
Rest. Okay.
So the fact that it was just in these weird holes that they found.
I'll buy that for a nickel.
Just a nickel?
Yep. I'm okay. Poor.
I know, these are hard times.
Actually, I'm quite rich lately. Relatively, guys. Okay. I'm talking like $5.
Okay. So, it's likely that the brewing of beer was happening all over the world many thousands of years ago, but this was just one of the first archaeological instances that they found. We don't actually get to see written accounts until the Sumerians. Do you know of the Sumerians?
I mean, I've heard of it, but that's about it.
Not
I don't even know where they're from. Sumeria?
Yeah. Which is,
guess, right?
Which is, I think, modern-day Iraq.
Okay.
The cradle of civilization in between the Tigris and the Euphrates. Mesopotamia.
Oh, okay. Why don't they call them Mesopotamians? Are those the same thing?
I think that might be a different civilization. I don't know. But they found, written in cuneiform tablets, something called the Hymn to Ninkasi. And Ninkasi was the Sumerian goddess of beer.
Oh, a goddess of beer.
Yes.
Hymn to Ninkasi.
And I'm going to read the Hymn to Ninkasi.
Is it like... it's like a drunk person.
I think that's fun because Ninkasi is a pretty big brewery.
Oh!
In Eugene.
Oh, it doesn't look like... it looks Japanese.
Yeah,
to me,
I've always
honestly.
Thought it was... I mean, that word to me, I assumed it was Japanese.
I've never realized that.
Me neither until... this.
Wow. You learn something every day. That's all I learned today, guys.
Yeah.
I went to work and everything.
All right. Bye. So, here's the hymn. Okay. And it's a little weird, so just, it's kind of long, too, so you'll have to stick with me. And obviously, things don't translate that well from Sumerian to English.
They don't?
No. I translated this by hand, so
you
I did
my
best. No, of course not.
You use Google Translate? They got Sumerian to English now?
Given birth by the flowing water. Tenderly cared for by...
Oh, opens up strong.
Ninhursaja. Ninkasi. Given birth by the flowing water. Tenderly cared for by Nihunjajasa.
What?
Having founded your town upon wax, she completed its great walls for you. Ninkasi, having founded your town upon wax, she completed its great walls for you. Your father is
Enki.
You
know, it could be less long if they stopped her themselves.
Your father is Enki, the Lord Nundimud, and your mother is Ninti, the Queen of Abzu. Oh, it repeats again. I'm not going to say it. It is you who handle the dough and with a big shovel mixing in a pit the beer bread with sweet aromatics.
Love a good dirty pit to mix my beer in.
It is you who bake the beer bread in the big oven and put in order the piles of hulled grain. It is you who water the earth-covered malt. The noble dogs guard it even from the potentates.
What do you think potentates
mean? I don't know. I thought it was like a math term.
Or a type of person?
Potentates. I'd say something bad.
There's and a question mark. And here you measure the potentate.
And how do they know Sumerian? Do they have a word for potentate? It is you who soak the malt in a jar. The waves rise, the waves fall. It is you who spread the cooked mash on large reed mats. Coolness overcomes.
I feel like this is just the recipe.
Exactly.
For beer.
Exactly. Okay. It is you who hold with both hands the great sweet wort, brewing it with honey and wine.
Oh.
Line one is damaged. Or this line is damaged.
Is that what got translated?
Yes. You, the sweet wort, to the vessel, Ninkasi. You place the fermenting vat, which makes a pleasant sound, appropriately on top of a large collector vat.
Twang!
Yeah, that's the sound. Pong! Ah.
Pleasant.
It is you who pour out the filtered beer of the collector vat. It is like the onrush of the Tigris and the Euphrates. That's it. So this was basically a little chant. You can see it's pretty catchy, right?
Super catchy.
So they would chant this as they brew so that they wouldn't forget how to brew.
Because they were drinking so much.
They're drinking so much.
They had to remember how to do it.
Ninkasi.
What if recipes were written like that now? It is you who cracked an egg into the bowl of cake.
Gordon Ramsay, it is you.
It is you that puts it in the oven at 350 degrees.
I like that.
Watch the cake batter flow in the pan like the Tigris flows into the Euphrates.
That'd be fun. I'd be more inclined to cook.
Wouldn't that be fun?
My mustache is so long now. Every time I drink, the liquid gets stuck in it.
I mean, have you tried? You could try shaving. Like, you don't have to.
I like it like this.
You have to get rid of it.
I like it like this.
Okay. Well, then stop your bitching. Look at that.
It's in my mouth.
It's going to be a walrus thing.
I know.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, it looks pretty normal.
I'm shaved my mustache since March 16th.
How about the beard?
The beard, I shaved my beard on April 1st.
Are you gonna shave the beard again for your?
I don't think so. No, I'm gonna grow out a beard as long as I can until I go back to work. Okay. I like it, and these two white hairs, like I say, make me look distinguished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it weren't for them,
you can think what you want.
Okay, so I find that hymn that I just read very interesting, because like you pointed out, it is basically a recipe to brew beer.
An ancient recipe.
And not, I don't really know what some of this stuff is, like beer bread and whatnot. But it doesn't seem too different than what we do today, which is pretty crazy.
I don't know, I'm not super familiar, but
I mean, it's very different, actually. It's really different, but you can see the roots are the same. So there's more written evidence, again from cuneiform tablets, in the city of Uruk, which is in modern-day Iraq. You might know them from the Uruk High.
What's up? Do you think Iraq came from that?
Oh.
Uruk?
Uruk, Iraq.
Sounds
probably
pretty close.
Yeah. And these tablets are about 5,000 years old, so a similar time. And they describe how the workers of Uruk were paid in beer. Like, they would get three ladles of beer per day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the work.
I feel like
they
you
did.
Would appreciate that.
But that also brings apart this idea that I think that beer, excuse me, oh my gosh, is different today than it was then. It's a lot more alcoholic today. And back then, people actually consumed it for like sustenance. I think it had more nutritional value because it was like
gonna,
a gruel.
Are we going to talk about like part of the reason people drank beer is because like water's so dirty?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll get there.
Okay.
But it was also consumed for fun. For example, in the Epic of Gilgamesh.
You've read? One of my most favorite epics.
Yeah, it's a good one. Mm-hmm. It's one of the oldest books in the world.
Yeah, terrible.
You've read it?
I mean, I've read excerpts.
Yeah. And excerpts. It reads like that hymn.
Yeah, Old English.
Yeah. One of the characters, Enkidu, they said he drank seven pitchers of beer, and then his heart grew light, his face glowed, and he sang out with joy. So they're clearly having a fun time with it.
Man,
as well.
But it takes seven pitchers.
Seven pitchers.
I can't think that much.
I mean, how big is a pitcher for them, too? Who knows?
I mean, I don't know.
So after the Sumerians, the Egyptians adopted the practice of brewing beer, mm-hmm. and they became very well known, very good at brewing beer. Mm-hmm. It is believed that the god Osiris, you've heard of Osiris?
I mean, I guess he's the Egyptian god, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said he gave humanity the gift of the knowledge of beer brewing. Mm. That was one of the big gifts, that along with agriculture. They had a festival known as the Tech Festival, which is also known as the Festival of Drunkenness.
And I've been to many one of those.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Welcome to the festival.
This is Tech for having an ancient Egyptian festival.
You guys are just fucking smashed.
No, this is a Tech Festival. An interesting fact is that in ancient Egypt, pretty much all the brewing was done by women. And this is because brewing and baking were very related. Use a lot of the same ingredients.
Right. I mean, that they basically, the recipe sound like they're right? baking it more than anything.
And the Egyptian beer calls for this type of bread, I think, that they talked about that you'd put in the beer. And so it was a very female-dominated process. And in ancient Egypt, pretty much everyone drank. That's just her chewing on the bone. Oh, okay. Don't worry. Pretty much everyone drank. Even the children.
I wonder if that why they look so messed up. Or is that just all the inbreeding?
I think that, inbreeding. There's the
Egyptians. Have you seen King Tut?
Yeah, he's messed up.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah. There is a professor at the University of Colorado. And shoot, I forgot to write down his name.
I think it's Walt Whitman.
He's a history professor, and he teamed up with a brewery called Avery Brewing, and he's just making historical beers the way that they would make it in history.
So can you buy them commercially?
I think you can buy it at their tap room, because I watched a YouTube video.
Uh-huh. Just sludge coming out?
And he was pouring pints. No, the Egyptian one, he said, is his favorite. Looked pretty damn good.
Really?
It's not carbonated, and it's only like 4%, but he says it's very good. And then he brewed like the Viking ale. He brewed...
I'd like to try that.
Yeah, I'd like to try it too.
Is it just the techniques, or is he actually getting the yeast? And
I think he's actually getting the yeast. Well, back then they didn't know about yeast. It was all just wild fermentation. So he went and he got, you know, yeast from that area. So as best he could to replicate that. Now we are going to... Oh, I just wanted to say one more thing. There's something called the Finnish saga of Kalevala. And this is Finnish as in Finland.
Yes.
And it's kind of like their Bible, and it was just passed down orally until it could be written down. And this devoted more lines to the creation of beer than it did to the creation of the world. So you can see where their priorities are.
I was about to say.
All right, now we're going to jump forward a little bit and talk about the Greeks. Okay. And there was a Greek historian named Xenophon. I don't think we've talked about. And he was a Greek historian writing in the 4th century BC.
Is this where xenophobe came from?
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Like alien?
I don't know.
It says with an X?
With an X. Hmm. But he was just a Greek dude.
I know.
And he was visiting this Armenian...
Maybe he didn't like other people.
He might not have. He did. He did a lot of traveling and writing.
Okay.
He was visiting... a Armenian village. What is she doing?
I don't know.
Kind of creepy. And he says there were, this is his quote, visiting an Armenian village, Xenophon, there were stores within of wheat and barley and vegetables and wine made from barley in great big bowls. So that would be beer. He just thought it was wine because he didn't know what beer was. Mm-hmm. The grains.
Whoa, slow down here. Let's talk about wine. Was that created before beer?
I think from his world, he knows more of wine because he's Greek.
But they drink a lot of wine. They're both pretty much the same thing, right? Like okay. One's fruit, one's yeast.
Yeah, but beer is boiled, blah, blah, blah. You add these certain ingredients. Mm. Whereas wine, you just squeeze the juices and...
And drink it when it's bad.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot easier.
There were stores within wheat and barley and vegetables, and wine made from barley in great big bowls. The grains of barley malt lay floating in the beverage up to the lip of the vessel, and reeds lay in them, some longer, some shorter, without joints. When you were thirsty, you must take one of these into your mouth and suck. So reeds were these hollow. Exactly. The beverage without a mixture of water was very strong. and of a delicious flavor to certain palates, but the taste must be acquired.
Mm, like coffee.
Like coffee or like beer.
So pretty much just it was shitty.
Yeah, he didn't like it
and
at all.
It takes a long time for you to forget about the shittiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he loved wine, and so a lot of people don't like wine.
All right.
So it's thought that this old beer was very thick, very sludge-like, which is why people drank it with this straw to filter out the nasty particulates that were floating around in there.
Mm. Are reeds not hollow?
They're hollow.
Like a matrix in them?
Yeah, but I think you would like poke it, like the nasty stuff would float to the top, so you'd poke it through. And it sounds like there might have just been like communal bowls where people just walk around and suck. Oh. So very hygienic.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Cool.
Look at that.
The Romans and the Greeks did not like beer.
What?
They thought it was a very low-class barbarian drink.
It still is.
And much preferred wine.
It's all intoxicating.
The Roman historian Tacitus writes that to drink the Teutons were a tribe of Germanic people, have a horrible brew fermented from barley or wheat, a brew which has only a very far removed similarity to wine.
Mm.
He didn't like it. So later on, there's evidence of brewing beer in Rome, but it was probably just export, and the Romans and Greeks themselves...
All about that wine.
Really just liked wine.
It's a lot stronger too, right?
Or wine?
Wine back then?
I don't know.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah. So now we're going to jump forward a little bit more. So I think a lot of people, when they think of beer, think of Germany.
Oh, yeah.
The Germans,
of course, yeah,
loved beer. And that's been the case for a very, very long time. There's a brewery called Weihenstephaner that can trace its origins to 1040.
Wow.
That's a long... And it's still going today. You can buy Weihenstephaner in, like, Safeway.
That's,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
I bet I've seen it. I just don't know what
I'm
it
sure you
sounds
have. Yeah.
Like.
It's quite good. And the Germans take their brewing very seriously. Mm. In 1516, they
what
passed...
What do they not take seriously? I feel like Germans are very serious people.
They don't take fun very seriously.
Right. Okay, all right. I wouldn't have either. I can't do it, German. I was just saying. Yeah, never mind. Go ahead.
In 1516, they passed the Reinheitsgebot.
See, that sounds serious.
It is the beer purity law.
Oh.
And this law...
I shouldn't be doing that.
So yeah, this law limited the ingredients that you could put into beer to only water, barley, and hops. You might notice a big ingredient is left out of that.
Yeast?
Yeast. Mm. And that's because at the time, they didn't even know yeast was a thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to get alcohol, are you?
Well, they would just let it spontaneously ferment.
Common.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So this law is still in existence today, believe it or not. Isn't that crazy?
I just pretend the yeast isn't there now?
Well, yeast has been altered.
Well, they should fix that law then.
I just think that's crazy. A law from 1516.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And I guess in Germany, you can brew beer with other stuff. Like some of the beers, this wouldn't be considered beer. What
but
I'm
it's
drinking.
It's just not called beer.
Exactly.
What is that called?
If I were in Germany, they'd call it probably some kind of ale, you know, something else.
Okay.
You just can't call
Cause
it
because I know they have like lambic. What is that?
That's a lambic.
Right. But that's not really a beer, is it? I guess it is.
Well, it depends. Are you a stickler German? Then no.
No. Okay.
So I want to talk about the Czech town of Pilsen. Because
I feel like this is where Pilsner came from.
Okay. And I studied abroad in Prague over the summer.
Okay.
And they love their beer over there. Brew some great beer. A lot of history. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you hit the nail on the head. There's a town called Pilsen, spelled P-L-Z-E-N.
Oh, it's too bad they got rid of that Z.
I know, wouldn't that be
Pilsner.
Cool? Pilsner.
With the Z.
And in 1842, let me just say, they were known for brewing...
Hey, isn't that when... 52.
Columbus sailed the ocean blue? Mm-hmm. No.
62.
1492.
Close enough.
Could be anything.
I know.
1922. 1932.
Sailed the ocean blue. See, the rhymes still work.
So the town of Pilsen was known for brewing bad beer, and they didn't like that. They wanted to brew good beer.
Yeah.
So they hired a guy named Joseph Grohl, who was a German brewer, and they said, hey, we want to make good beer. Do you have any ideas? And he said, yes, I do have some ideas. And so he mixed some things up. I don't really know the technicalities, but he used paler malts and grains, and some other different methods, mm-hmm. and boom, they made something called a Pilsner.
What?
And this was the first thing that was a more light-bodied, light-colored, uh-huh. straw-colored beer. Mm-hmm. Most of the beer they made was that kind of dark, weedy. Malty, mm-hmm. weedy, and people loved this, and it really took off.
Hold on. When you say paler oats, is that where pale ale comes from, or is it the color?
I don't know.
Just like a pale ale, question. Use paler oats.
I don't know about oats, but like or paler malts and malts. Stuff. I would assume, yeah. And then a lot of people would roast their malts, even today, and that gave it, you know, a stout comes, I think, from roasted malts.
Oh, okay.
And depending on how much you roast them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
the first Pilsner.
The first Pilsner delicious. Came out of Pilsen, and it was delicious. Mm-hmm. And, spread all over the world. It was imported into the U.S. in 1874.
Hmm.
So became a huge phenomenon mm-hmm. overnight. And I like a Pilsner. There's a company called Pilsner Urquell that's based out of Pilsen, Czech Republic.
Oh, really?
And you can buy their beer in stores.
Here?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's good?
Yeah. So an interesting trend started happening with beer brewing over time. Eventually, monasteries started brewing beer, which I've always thought was very strange.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't the Lord say you can't? No, it says you can do that.
Yeah. And this is called Trappist Ales.
I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you wanted to... Do you remember we went to that Crazy World store because you were trying to find that one thing
exactly.
by a Trappist
yes.
monk?
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be some of the best beer in the world.
Did you get it?
No.
You never got it?
Never got it.
Do we have to, like, go up to a mountain and get it?
We have to go to Europe, to Belgium or some shit. Yeah. They were known for brewing beer with incredible precision and art.
Mm.
And it's because they believed that the beer they made was a representation of God. And so to make bad beer was an insult to God.
Wow.
They
really had a lot of time.
It sounds like they just love drinking beer, to be honest, which I think is kind of funny.
No. This beer is like God.
It's for God here. Drink it. Oh, shit. Yeah,
it's good.
Most of these monasteries had three different brewing areas, all to make three different kinds of beer.
Okay.
One was for customers and travelers.
Mm.
One was for poor people. They'd give it out to the poor folk.
Mm.
And then one was the private stash that only the monks could drink.
Ooh, I bet that's really good
shit. That's like good stuff.
Is that still a thing, probably?
I don't know. Yes, because the one that you were just talking about mm-hmm. has three different ones you can purchase.
But you can still purchase the
you
nice
can still
one.
Purchase the nice one, yeah.
See, I feel like the really nice one,
yeah,
you can't even purchase.
You can't
purchase.
Get, and like the monks just get it from themselves.
Yeah, it's like hallucinogenic. Ooh, footsies. Do you think the poor people one was just like watered down?
I bet it was pretty just watered down, but they're giving it out for free.
Yeah, it's got some nutritional value to it, right?
Yeah.
Especially this gruel stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what it's called. What is that?
Gruel.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So these monks drank up to 4 liters of beer a day at some monasteries.
4 liters?
Yeah.
That's
a lot of beer.
Just drunk happy monks.
Yeah, just drunk happy monks. I like that idea for some reason. Just, I kind of want to be a Trappist
you,
monk.
You, for some reason, you like the idea of living up on a mountain and drinking your whole life
with
nothing else to do?
Yeah, just jollying, walking around.
How would you not like that idea?
I don't know. Because you're a monk, you have to do other things like celibacy and
that's about
God
it.
Stuff. And
yeah, but if someone just told you, hey, Stuart, rest of your life, you can just drink all day.
I'd probably do it, yeah. And some cool mountaintop monastery, yeah. Here in Oregon, we have a Trappist brewery called Benedictine Brewery in Mount Angel.
Okay.
And I'd quite like to go. Oh, my notes are a little scattered.
Yeah.
But anyway, now I guess I'm going to talk about, bless you, in medieval Europe, beer was brewed at the home. Initially.
Okay.
So, like, everyone would brew their own beer.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of wild. And that started to change in the 14th and 15th century.
So, the first instance... So, all these freaking hipsters
mm-hmm.
are, like, homebrewing and
thing.
This is not new.
Going back to our roots.
And we should tell them that they're not, like... This is not
this is
fancy.
Very, very old, in fact.
Okay.
They'd probably like that.
I bet they were like, oh, just like the ancients used to do.
So, in the 14th and 15th century, more large-scale production started to ramp up. And with the Industrial Revolution, like almost everything,
mm-hmm.
the brewing of beer was also revolutionized.
Mm-hmm.
They invented certain things like the thermometer and the hydrometer.
Just for beer?
No. Just in general, they invented these two things.
No, so like, I know, but the... Oh. You mean somebody else invented it for a different reason
mm-hmm.
than they're using it in beer.
Okay. Exactly.
I thought they were just maybe like they invented the thermometer. No. They're like, we gotta measure this beer.
Although I wouldn't put it past them. And this allowed people to brew beer with a lot more precision and just basically brew better beer.
All the consistency too.
Mm-hmm. In 1912, Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company, who I think you can still buy Schlitz beer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, started putting beer into brown bottles to keep out the harmful rays.
Okay.
And that's something we still do today.
That's true.
In 1935, the first canned beer was sold by Kruger Brewing, called Kruger Cream Ale and Kruger's Finest Beer.
Kruger.
Kruger, like Freddy. And these cans were flat-topped and made out of heavy-gauge steel.
Oh, my. Heavy-gauge
steel. Yeah, imagine that.
That's a heavy can.
Yeah, a steel can.
Damn.
And it wasn't until 1958 that aluminum cans were first introduced, which now is, like, ubiquitous with beer. That kind of wraps it up, but first I wanted to go into some interesting beer consumption stats.
Okay. So, yeah, this would be interesting.
So this is in liters per year per capita.
Okay.
What country would you say is first, and how many liters of beer per capita do you think they drink?
Let's go with Germany.
Okay.
Okay. And how many liters per capita?
Liters per capita per year.
Per year. So that means per person, how much do they drink in a year?
Right.
In liters.
Right. This is per capita of the country, so people that drink and don't drink, keep that in mind.
Boy. How many ounces is in a liter? 32?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Exactly.
I don't know. I'm going to say 10 liters.
A year?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good guess. So, Germany is third. At 101.1 liters.
Mm, so I was just in order to make it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Austria is second at 107.6.
100 liters. Okay, so do a little math
here. That's like a little less than like a third of a liter per day per person.
That's a lot, though.
That is a lot. And especially considering that's per capita.
That's so drinking that's like, every day.
Yeah.
And that means that some people aren't drinking, some people are drinking double.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. So Austria is two at 107.6,
okay.
And number one is the Czech Republic at 191.8.
Whoa, almost twice.
Yeah, so that difference.
What are the Czechs doing over there? Are they? I know. What are they doing. Sad? Are they?
No,
drinking?
They just.
They just like to drink.
Yeah, and beer is cheaper than bottled water there.
Wow.
So people just drink. Yeah.
Wow.
I love how it goes from 191.8. And then the next closest is 107.6.
Yeah, you got the Czechs should be bragging about that. They got nothing.
That's crazy. Third is Romania, 98.9. Fifth is Poland, 98.2. And the United States is 20th at 73.5.
Got to get those numbers up.
That's not good. Well, I guess that is good. And so that kind of wraps up. 30 minutes, not so bad. Wraps up our beer. And I just kind of wanted to say that beer has a very long history, clearly. 13,000 years ago, pretty much as long as recorded human history. And the evolution of beer has intertwined, is that a word?
Yeah.
Very closely with the evolution of human beings.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a very important thing.
Seems to be in sync with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty interesting that it's such an ancient thing. And it's still very pervasive today. You know, I think it's synonymous with social outings. You know, it's pretty much assumed that you're going to drink.
Right.
Which is very interesting.
Right. And with, like, parties, like the Tech Fest, you know, you got to – it's a big thing.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting if we swing it back to drugs, how some drugs – are clearly thought of as drugs. And you can even see this, that alcohol is a drug and a pretty big one.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious when you, it's so ubiquitous and so commonplace that we don't even put it in drugs anymore.
Yeah.
You know, people say drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, right.
Why do we do that?
Right.
When we say drugs, we are referring to alcohol as well. But for some reason, it's became its own category. I think it's funny.
And, you know, if it were invented today, it would for sure be outlawed.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it's the fact that it has this huge history. I listened to that, finally listened to this really good podcast by Dan Carlin.
Hardcore History?
Hardcore History. And he was talking about the effects of alcohol on history. Talking about things like how Winston Churchill was pretty much a chronic alcoholic.
Wow.
He'd wake up in the morning and have a glass of gin, like, first thing.
Gotta get my gin on.
And what ramifications could that have had? Mm-hmm. You know, Joseph Stalin, they say when the Germans invaded Russia, it was a surprise attack. Mm-hmm. He was so distraught that he just went on a drinking binge, and wow, no one could find him for 2 weeks.
Wow.
While the Germans were invading, and like how many lives were lost because he couldn't get his shit together for two weeks to...
And on the flip side of that is Germans high on amphetamines.
Exactly. So. The Russians are just drunk. That's not a good matchup.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why they won.
Yeah.
Drugs alone.
Yeah. And then people like Alexander the Great, chronic alcohol users. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
It is.
And for some reason, I think now we're getting a little better at viewing it as not a good thing, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll... Yeah, I don't... It seems to be something synonymous with humans. Mm-hmm. Like alcohol and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to have them.
Yeah, yeah, right. My grandpa used to tell me when he was a kid and he would wake up in the middle of the night and couldn't get back to sleep, his parents would give him a shot of brandy.
Wow, I'll get you back to sleep.
Yeah, he's like 4 or 5 years old. Yeah. Wow. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's interesting in terms of just... I lost my train of thought. Totally gone. I've been drinking too much.
Too many Werther's Originals.
Too many Werther's Originals, guys.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to be a good thought, too. It looks so profound.
It's going to be, I mean, all my, you know.
It's true. You never say anything not profound.
No, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's alcohol, or that's beer. We could do a whole nother alcohol one.
Yeah, we'll definitely. Oh, I was just going to kind of draw the comparison to, I think you were talking about, was that beer drinking per capita?
Uh-huh. Yeah, just beer drinking.
I think it's interesting to look at alcohol consumption. And mm-hmm. see how that differs.
Yeah, right.
And then also, it'd be interesting just like the way it's consumed. Like, I feel like in Europe, it's like you have a glass a day for with a meal.
Right.
When in alcohol, you don't drink for 2 weeks and then you go on a binge that shoots your liver
down. Take like 30 shots.
Yeah. And then you end up in the hospital for alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, right.
And it's just interesting, moderation versus like this idea of having stuff freely available.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we took a similar attitude for other drugs that we do to alcohol. Well, I guess America didn't get it
because
we have it.
And alcohol is a huge problem with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Imagine if something even more addictive.
Maybe we can't do it, but everybody else can. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just that was the thought.
Yep. So that's beer.
Cool. It was interesting. It's a good history hole.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we don't know what we're doing next week yet, do we?
No, we don't. It's a rainy day here, guys.
Yeah, it's a dark, rainy, feels
it was
like
gonna
October.
Be sunny, yeah.
But it's May.
I know.
It's making us pissy. All right.
All right, guys.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hang in there.
Have a good one.
Bye.